On a previous Focus on the Family radio program, Les Parrott talked about the importance of friendship in marriage.
Yeah, you take friendship out of the equation and suddenly you're roommates. You're not soulmates. You're just walking through life and doing the activities that it requires of you. But what about the fun? What about the connection? What about the intimacy that grows out of a sense of you know me and I know you like nobody else on the planet? Well, man, when you can walk through life with somebody that is hand in hand with you in that sense, life doesn't get any sweeter.
Well, that's a great perspective on the essence of having friendship at the heart of your marriage, whether you've been married 5 or 25 years. Now, maybe you've settled into some routines and you're finding it difficult to keep your relationship vibrant. Well, Focus President Jim Daly is going to talk about building on that friendship to ensure that your marriage will be strong for many years to come, even when your children are out of the home. Welcome to another broadcast. I'm John Fuller.
John, we have two wonderful guests here who can share some simple but very intentional ideas about how to revitalize our marriages. And I really look forward to diving into those practical helps because we need them. You know, we can get into those routines, like you said, and we get into a rut. And I think today, Les and Leslie Parrott will help us get out of those ruts. Mm-hmm. They are the authors of a new book called Making Happy, The Art and Science of Happy Marriage. Les is a clinical psychologist, and his wife, Leslie, is a marriage and family therapist. Together, they are founders and co-directors of the Center for Relationship Development at Seattle Pacific University. So, Welcome back.
Good to be with you, as always.
Hey, let me ask you this question. Your dad and Dr. Dobson did a program many, many years ago, right here on Focus on the Family, about happiness.
About that. Wow.
And,
from the archives.
Is it part of your DNA to talk about being happy?
It must be. I didn't even think about that. Dad wrote a book years ago about the habit of happiness. And I remember that. I was a kid. And, I think I grew up in a home where there's something about trying to figure out this puzzle in the Christian life of happiness. What is it? And especially for Leslie and me in our work, when it comes to marriage, what is it that makes a couple happy? Because we all want that. You ask anybody, hey, why are you getting married? Oh, because we're in love. What do you want most out of your marriage? Oh, we just want to be happy, right? What do you want most for your kids? Oh, I just want my kids to be happy, whatever they do. You know, we all are in this pursuit of happiness. What does that mean to our lives? And that's really what caused us to write this book.
Now, right out of the gate, I need to press on this because for me, I'm always kind of discounting happiness because for me, I believe joy is the greater goal.
Yeah.
And the deeper goal for the Christian faith.
You sound like a real downer.
Well,
I'm a joyful guy.
I'm against happiness, only joy.
I'm a joyful person. But is there a distinction between being joyful and being happy?
Well, and I love that question because really we don't want anything that is selfish. And happiness, you know, the models of pursuit of happiness that we see so often look exactly like that, models of selfishness. And that's not at all what we're talking about.
No, in fact, what we found in our own research was there's two kinds, big buckets of happiness, and one is what we call feel-good happiness, and that's momentary happiness that comes about as a result of all kinds of pleasures, a great dessert, you know, that's feel-good happiness, a bowl of ice cream, whatever. And then there's value-based happiness, and that's happiness that comes about because of meaningful activity in our lives. It's
purpose.
Deeper, yes, and there's not a diminishing return when it comes to that kind
and
of
I
thing.
Love it that he said that, diminishing return, because truthfully, that's what we've seen. We've seen the kind of pleasure pursuits that end in nothing but more unhappiness and heartbreak than anyone should ever have. And then there's this deep abiding happiness that you call joy that really the Bible opens us up to, and that's all about having a life filled with meaning and purpose, and all of the things that are fruit from the Spirit are what produce that kind of happiness.
Yeah, and so it's really a combination of those. So call it joy or call it happiness or exuberance or whatever it is that you'd like to call it, but when you put those two things together, that feel-good happiness, which we all want, you know, little spikes of that throughout our lives.
Feeling good is not a bad thing.
Right.
Because it's contagious and it literally ushers joy into other people's lives.
But so often in the Christian community, we feel guilty about that. Why is that?
I don't know. I think that it's a problem, sincerely, because God created that. He created all kinds of pleasures for us and within marriage and beyond. And one of the great pleasures in life, of course, is raising children and seeing all the peaks and valleys of that. But when we have those pleasurable experience of a tickle fight or something with our little preschool kid or whatever, that's pleasure, right?
And happiness is that. It's contagious and it elevates the experience of everyone around
you. Want your spouse to be happy,
yes,
right?
You
don't want to come home to a spouse that isn't happy. We want that.
Let me ask you this, though. H.B. London, who was here working with pastors,
sure.
Dr. Dobson's cousin.
I used to be on staff at his church.
Right, you were on staff. Right. HB used to have a term called the joy suckers.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Joy suckers.
The joy suckers.
Yes.
There are joy suckers in the church. Yeah. And, you know, for us, again, as Christians, to hold each other accountable, why do we as Christians pursue the joy sucking vocation as opposed to the joyful vocation of life?
Well, I love that question because I surely don't want to be a joy sucker in my marriage. Let me tell you that.
It won't be happy.
No, I don't want to be that. You know, I want to exude it, but I think maybe there's some sort of noble sense of false humility that comes with bearing and martyring and
let
know,
everybody know that you do
exactly.
That.
Exactly. The truth is, the gifts given out of that kind of joyless service are not truly gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it's who wants to be running their life out of guilt, right? Paul said, "There's therefore now no condemnation for those of us that are in Christ Jesus." Mm. It doesn't mean that to follow Christ you have to carry this huge burden of guilt on your back. Just the opposite of that. He came for a fulfilled life. And so when it comes to happiness in marriage, by the way, one thing we know for sure, marriage was never designed to make you happy. You make your marriage happy. Hmm. That is the hinge upon which this whole book hangs.
You know, so often when people are critical of Christians, it seems like we're the naysayers. Don't stop. They don't see joy in us because we're not showing it. If we were to say, listen, we've got the greatest news in the world for you. Mm. Yes, you fall short. You do things that you feel guilty about that you don't want to do. It might be cheating on your diet. It might be cheating on your spouse, whatever it might be. But guess what? God knew that that sin nature was going to be in us since the fall of mankind. But he's got a remedy for us. It's his son, Jesus Christ. And he has died for our sins. We should be, like, incredibly joyful to be able to share that news with other people. Right. It's not a downer, anybody.
I love that.
God has sent his son to die for you so that you could spend eternity with him, knowing your shortcomings and your failures. We should have the biggest smiles on our faces, willing to tell everybody, not from a stop it, don't do that, but from a simple perspective of embrace God. He loves you.
Well, I just love that because what you're saying is at the ground of our being, we should be exuding a joyful presence because we receive the gift of grace. So to live as if anything else is reality just sort of discounts the great, generous spirit of God in our lives.
Well, and one of the greatest witnesses in our lives as to God's grace is how we adjust to things beyond our control. It's our circumstances, because everybody's looking for their circumstances. Once I get this job, once I get this house, this car, this cool toy, whatever it is, then I'm going to be happy. And of course, happiness isn't built on those things. And in fact, we're going to have so many hurdles in life, and to rise above that and have joy in spite of our circumstances, I think that's when God's grace shines the brightest.
Well, we actually know from research that whatever our circumstances are is only about 10% of what adds to our happiness quotient. I mean, it's a very small piece.
Right. Get the car you want. That's
right.
Only going to be fleeting.
You know, yeah. I mean, no matter how the circumstances are.
And even in marriage, we know that the research shows that happiness, you get a bump from getting married for sure in happiness, that lasts at max 2 years.
Yeah.
All right. And then we come back to our set point.
Then you have to keep building into your marriage. Let me talk about the research for a second. And I'd like you to put your spiritual discerning ears on right now when you hear this. The Wall Street Journal summarized some research that showed adults who frequently feel grateful have more energy, more optimism, have more social connections, more happiness than those who don't. They're less likely, now this is the spiritual component, This is the Wall Street Journal quoting this. They're less likely to be depressed, envious, or greedy. They earn more money, sleep more soundly, exercise more regularly, and are sick less often.
Yeah.
That sounds like a biblical application to the human spirit, doesn't it?
It really is.
Amen.
Yeah. When we set off on this path to really understand happiness within marriage, and by the way, some of the seeds for this were planted by a fellow named Martin Seligman, who is really the father of positive psychology and changed the face of psychology in our lifetime. And I was at a TED Talk in California, and we had lunch together, and he said, nobody has taken all this mountain of research and applied it to couples. He said, why don't you two do that? That's what you guys are kind of built for. And that's what got us off on this thing. And when we did the research, we did. We encountered a mountain. In the last 15 years, so much research has gone on. And what you just read about gratitude was one of the biggest things that we saw in the mountain of research. If you want to instantly improve your level of joy and happiness, focus on gratitude. It can't help but to increase that.
Well, and the thing is, gratitude is not a, you give me something and I give you gratitude. The scripture is very clear about having that attitude of gratitude,
right,
regardless of your circumstances.
Right.
Be content in all things,
right,
is
right,
a way of saying that. The scripture is clear that the Lord is expecting a reborn heart, a reborn spirit, to have that sense of gratitude for everything that God has done, even the tough stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems like in the Christian community, we're not necessarily thankful for every circumstance. Most, but not all.
What I love about gratitude is genuinely a choice. You know, it's a choice of where we focus our attention, we're mindful of our blessings. And we know when it comes to happiness, about 40% of our overall happiness rests on choices that we make, which is a pretty empowering thing. We really do have the possibility of shaping our happiness.
Yeah, it's known as the happiness pie. About 50% of our happiness is just biological. And you have a set point of happiness, and I do too, and they're different.
And it's biochemistry.
It's kind of our
natural dopamine,
the way our brain fires.
And that's why when we get married or things happen, we can swing a little bit and be more happy for a while because we got this new car or whatever it is, and then it comes back to that set point. 50% is due to that, and then another 10% is due to our circumstances,
right,
and then what Leslie's talking about, that's the 40% of our choices. Think about that. 40% of our emotional state is conditional on the things that we choose to focus on.
Now, in your book, you talk about 6 happiness boosters. I love that. Let's mention them, and then we'll talk about them.
The first is exactly what you've been touching on, and that's count your blessings. It's all about gratitude. And, you know, I was thinking about this a little while ago on our trip. We had a trip that we'd been looking forward to, a Christmas gift of going to South Africa as a family. This was something we planned for months and months and months.
It was a very meaningful, purposeful trip. We were taking our kids to experience sort of this new place.
Culture. And we were using miles, you know, airline miles.
That's
travel.
A good thing to use
yes,
for that
yeah.
trip.
Exactly, right. It's a long one. And because of that, we had to fly through Buenos Aires on the way to South Africa. All right?
Just a very direct route.
Yeah, I think I know what's coming here. Go ahead.
And this was something. And so we had our person that scheduled the trip said, hey, we have a layover there for you guys. It's about 6 hours. Would you like me to have a little tour? And you can get a little tour guide and go outside the airport, look around, and then come back. Yeah, cool. That sounds fun.
When
you know?
Will we ever be back?
Right.
Sure, let's
and
seize the day.
So we did that and had our tour, and it was getting close to, you know, time to come back to the airport, and the traffic was thick and so forth, and we were getting a little uptight about that, and it kind of got quiet in this van that we're getting driven around in. And
our local guide began to get very quiet
right,
as well.
And literally started, he at one point got out of the van and started directing traffic. At any rate, we barely made it in time, and then we got to the ticket, and they said that you have to have a You left the airport. You need a medical certificate in order to get back on the airplane for some yellow bird flu or something like that. And we,
yellow
of course,
fever.
We didn't know anything about it.
We'd had the shots. We'd had the pills. We'd had everything, but not for this because it wasn't required.
Long story
Africa.
Short, we ended up what was supposed to be a 6-hour layover turned into 3 days.
Oh,
and we were missing
you missed the flight.
We were missing it. And the flight only goes every other day to South Africa where we were going. And I won't go through all the details, but let me just tell you, it was heart-wrenching. I mean, we'd plan to look forward. We're meeting other families over there and so forth. anyway, the point of all this is that we eventually got on this flight through a series of circumstances.
Miracles.
Yeah, and if we had more time, we could literally fill the whole interview talking about this trip. But we got there. Our hearts were filled with more gratitude than they could have. We were bursting with gratitude just because we made it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we didn't take anything for granted. We didn't complain about one thing that entire week.
It wasn't
week,
one. I'm tired. I've walked too far. I'm hungry. Our whole family was so infused with gratitude, and I think it became for us this living lesson of gratitude literally transformed our sense of joy every day of that experience.
And if something kind of, we got a bump in the road, we just look at each other and go, we're here. That's all. It was just enough of a reminder to go be gratitude.
The lesson there is that it took hardship to bring it to the point of gratitude, and that may be, again, what the Lord is talking about when we suffer.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it leads to... character and character hope, and you know.
But as a couple, if you want to infuse your relationship with more joy and happiness, one dial you can immediately turn is the dial of gratitude. Make a list of those things you're grateful for in your spouse. You can't help but to be more happy about your circumstances when you do that.
So often, and I think this line was in your book, Making Happy, you said that discontent breeds entitlement.
Mm.
For sure.
Yes. It goes the other way as well. Entitlement can breed discontent. I think that's why we get the term the ugly American.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, because you know, the service levels in the U.S. are quite high. You step to a counter, you can get food in 30 seconds, and when it takes a minute, all of a sudden it starts feeling like, hey, no one's taking care of me here.
Yeah.
I think we in America, I think the church is equally guilty of this. I'm equally guilty of this, is that my expectation is so high that discontent creeps in or floods in depending upon the situation. The guy that cuts me off on the road or whatever it might be. How can you do that? Don't you know the rules? Right. We follow the rules here. You know, how do we relax? How do we find happiness in our discontentment?
Mm, I love that. The opposite of entitlement is gratitude. It really is. It's recognizing life is a gift. The fact that you've said yes to sharing life with me is a generous gift. So if every moment doesn't unfold perfectly, you know, I don't feel entitled to that.
Yeah.
My heart is not saying I deserve to be served. Mm.
Okay, it's one of six of the booster rockets.
Right.
The next one's try new things.
Yeah, I love this one. This is one that is exciting. I think a lot of guys like this one, too, because
any empty nester couple can relish this one, actually, because they literally have the time to try new things in a way they haven't had for decades.
Yeah, and this is something that we've experienced in our own relationship, seen it many times, but the research is fascinating. Quick study, and then I want to tell you a story about something that really changed our level of happiness through this. But
Actually, this is quite fascinating for any couple, any age, any stage. What they did, the researchers wanted to understand, you know, we all know date nights are great for marriage. They wanted to understand, how does that truly impact intimacy? And so they recruited couples for the studies. Some of them they sent out just on a romantic date night, you know, the typical dinner out, movie, whatever. Other couples then were literally taken into a special place. They were Velcroed together, and they were sent through an obstacle course. And afterwards, when the researchers interviewed these couples, the ones who had had the crazy, wild obstacle course, you know, just unexpected moment, experienced such high levels of connection, intimacy, you know, closeness, feelings of romance, and the couples who had the relaxing romantic date night, not as much as these couples that tried this brand new thing.
It was still helpful for them, but it wasn't nearly as invigorating as trying something new that they haven't experienced.
Let me paint a picture for you. So a couple's married, they have their children, they go through the teen years, they survive them.
Which is an accomplishment.
Right. And now they're at that point. For years now, let's just say the husband has tried to do fun and crazy things. But it was always met rationally with, I'm too busy, I can't do that, we don't have time for that. And that happened over and over and over again. Maybe it's not just the husband bringing up that, but the wife occasionally said, hey, let's do this, and hey, you know what, I got work stuff, I can't do that.
Right.
And they fell into a pattern of that.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, there isn't that joy or that happiness.
Absolutely.
And they don't even know how to try anymore. They've lost the ability to even think about doing something like this. What can they do to reignite the hope?
Yeah, that's what this whole chapter in our book is dedicated to doing, is finding how do you get out of that rut that you're stuck into and carve a new groove. And when that new groove is simply learning these new patterns, and especially when you get to a different stage, a turning point in your relationship, mm-hmm. you have the opportunity to really make some changes, because it's like opening up a window in your relationship.
It is. It's like fresh air and grace. And I'll tell you what, here's what gives me the most hope for every couple who might be at that place where they've kind of hit that dead end. You know, we're stuck in this rut, and I don't even expect you to say yes, so why would I try right now? Is that it only takes the smallest movement in that direction reaps the hugest reward. I mean, one experience like that can literally transform the way you feel about your relationship together. And I got to tell you, you know, maybe there's someone out there going, well, my wife's not very brave. You know, she'd never want to X, Y, or Z, whatever it is.
Do an obstacle course in Velcro suits.
But I got to tell anyone out there to have hope, because my husband talked to me, the faint of heart, who, you know, is nervous when we're just driving too fast, into a pretty out-of-the-box date night.
Yeah, I came into the kitchen a while back, and I said, hey, I got us tickets for trapeze lessons. And
I said, we're going to go watch some cool, you know, performance. And he's like, no, we're going to go do the flying trapeze.
She said, what are you talking about? I said, oh, I found it online, a discount coupon. And I said, trust me. I said, I'm going to ask another couple. We'll go down. We'll have a blast and blah, blah, blah. And we did. We ended up doing this. And it was it was this place downtown Seattle, kind of on the outskirts of town. And it was one of those things, you know, they strap you in and you're up there and you're doing all that stuff.
And by the way, you don't have to love the experience.
I was going
to
say, how'd you get over that?
And I'm not even sure you'd ever want to do the flying
trapeze. No, I don't need to do it again.
Let's be honest.
But Leslie, how did you get to the point where you said, okay, I'll go? A lot of wives and some husbands would say, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. First of all, I do trust my husband. He will not push me beyond what my fear can handle. So I know that if I get too afraid, he will not push. But here's the thing. I've learned over time now that it's those crazy moments where, you know, you've got the adrenaline pumping and you're trying something you never pictured yourself doing, and you're sharing this moment. And I often talk myself through it by saying, it's not right now, it's when we're reminiscing about this next week.
Well, and let me ask you, Jimmy, you go out on a movie and a dinner and a date night kind of a thing, and you're driving home and you have a good time. Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed that, blah, blah, blah. You come home and you're driving from taking trapeze lessons. What do you think that conversation is like?
Why did we do this?
I can't believe. I am so angry at you for threatening my life.
Okay, listen.
You guys are real downers, you know?
We hear from a lot of people. It's not us.
The conversation was more like, that was so fun. I can't believe
it. We're laughing wholeheartedly.
It felt like we were teenagers
again.
We're
out of our comfort zone. We feel ridiculous. We can't believe it. And yet, you know, those moments are forever bonding. And so, you know, it's just one of those great things.
Well, what I like about it is the openness to do it. Mm-hmm. You're showing as a couple an openness to one another. Listen, this time has flown by. Maybe in a trapeze kind of way, I don't know. But we have more to cover. We've only covered a couple of your six boosters, the count your blessings and try new things. We've got others we want to cover. Let's keep rolling. Come back next time and cover some additional material. Can you do it?
We'll do it, and I hope you'll have a joyful attitude when we do it.
I'll try.
It's so good to laugh with Les and Leslie Parrott and to have them here. They're obviously frequent guests, and we're very comfortable with them and their advice here at Focus on the Family. And I trust that they've helped you, as they help so many through their speaking and writing and the students that they teach at Seattle Pacific University. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening. I'm John Fuller.
There's always laughter when we have Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott on the program, but I so appreciate their great advice for marriage. Their book, again, is called Making Happy, The Art and Science of a Happy Marriage, and it includes a 21-day happiness plan for your marriage. And with God's help, those ideas can really work for you to put your relationship on the road once again to happiness, as they described. There's much more to cover, more of those happiness boosters, so I hope you'll join us tomorrow for that. And if you've missed any of today's program, or you want to share it with friends or family, or maybe your spouse, you'll find the program on our website, and it's available as a podcast. Our website's address is safamily.co.za. I also really encourage you to have a look online at our upcoming marriage events with Dr. Steve Bass. He'll cover topics like discovering your brain's emotional command system, how we connect emotionally, sharpening your emotional communication skills, and finding shared meaning. The event is called Stronger, a 5-step guide to strengthening your marriage. We'll be in Cape Town, Pretoria, and Durban from the 10th to the 18th of August, and you'll find all the info on dates and venues on our website. And have a look out for the morning parenting event as well. The website again is safamily.co.za. Thanks for tuning in today. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Graham Schnell, inviting you back next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.